I thank the Lord again this morning that we might be able to meet out here together. I'm also very grateful for the freedoms that we have here in America. Again, I'll say that I suppose all of us can look around and wish some things were different and think we'd change some things if we could. But having said that, I'm so very grateful we have what we have here in America. Thank the Lord for that. We're able to meet here together with a sense of we're not afraid of our government. We're not afraid of being come in on this morning. I'm very grateful for the freedoms that we have of expression. Thank you all for that special song this morning. It reminds us of how precious it is that we have a Heavenly Father that loves us. And oh, I hope all of us got the message of that wonderful song this morning. God loves you. And we, each one, wherever we are found this morning on the road of life, the Lord invites us to His very self. He wants to claim us. He knows your name. And in saying of that, He knows our name. That says to me, He knows right where you are this morning. He knows whether you're saved. He knows whether you're not saved. He knows whether you're struggling or whether you're on the mountaintop this morning. He knows where you are. And we find a great comfort and a great solace in this place where we can get alone with the Lord and in His presence. And He doesn't berate us for our lack or our inability or our lack of wisdom. He's there to help us in those times of need. And I hope you understand that this morning. I have lived now for the Lord for... I got saved in 1979 there at Monarch. So it's been a few years now that I have lived for the Lord. And I can tell you over the years of my experience of living for the Lord, this is right. This is so good. And I found Him precious in my life. I found His influence, His effect in my life. I found it to be precious. I found also that as I followed as a young man when I got saved, and as I began to follow after the Lord, the things He began to create, not only in my personal life, but extended over to who I married and my children and the training of my children and the life that has been created, the sweetness of my family, the joy that we have, the precious blessings of the Lord. It's wonderful, and I would recommend Him to everyone here, wherever you're at this morning. Perhaps you're older down the path of life and maybe you haven't found the Lord sweet in your heart. I want to ask you this morning to give what you have left of your life to the Lord. He will make the most of it and the best of what can happen. Oh, this morning I'm just so grateful to be a child of such a King. Back home in my area, there was an old man I was privileged to see a few times and talk with. He was a brilliant man. Eccentric, but brilliant. If you met him and talked with him for just a little bit, you may kind of duck your head and walk away thinking, this fellow's just a few bricks short. But he wasn't. I was in his little old shanty of a building he had out back, and he had built a microwave collector and collected microwaves, and he turned the microwave on, and he had it coaxed out into the open. And when he turned that thing on, fluorescent bulbs inside this little building began to come on. Well, we decided that wasn't the thing to do, because there's that many loose microwaves affecting it. It may affect you too. He also showed me something that he built. It was a little canister, and he took it apart, and there were some things inside there. He began to describe to me some of the things he charged this system with, and telling me how. And I couldn't understand had quite a mind. He could tell me what was happening and what these gases that he charged, how they would react. And And he said he had a mind one time to, because he was wanting to develop a system that you could more easily get the overburden off of coal mining up in our area. And he was going to use this as an explosive. And he was going to do it one day. He had a bulldozer. He was going to put a big old mound of dirt up there and see how it reacted. But he thought, I better talk with somebody before I do that. And he talked with some scientist friends that he knew. And they said, don't do that. You don't know how far that reaction is going. He said, it's a small nuclear reaction is what I'm creating. Let me tell you what happens when power is not controlled. It can do an awful lot of damage. Microwave, we love to push a button and put something in there and warm it up right away. But if you let that out in the open, if we turn microwaves loose in here, it's going to damage all of us. In time, power when not restricted and not brought within control can be a very damaging thing. But yet we need power. Power is essential. How many of you like to be led? Well, at first blush, we think, well, not me. I want to be my own man. That's all right. You're supposed to have some of that feeling. But you also want to be led, whether you like to admit it right now or not. Let me give you a little quick example. How do you think our singing would be if we didn't have somebody head the right direction in their singing? Really, now. If you didn't have a sense of timing. We don't want somebody to try to lead singing that doesn't have, they can't sing, they don't have a sense of timing, they don't know notes. Now, I don't know notes, so you'll never hear me leading the singing. But, well, actually, some of you have. I might have known the song, but I didn't know the notes. Sorry. But what the point I'm trying to make was we don't choose somebody to lead singing that has nothing, doesn't know anything about it. It'd be chaotic. And we would all wonder where we're headed. We have a sense of unease. If somebody got up here and tried to lead singing and couldn't sing at all, it would be a discordant. And pretty soon we'd say, where are we going? We need leadership. In fact, nature demands leadership. It demands it. It's like a vacuum that if there's no leadership, it will be filled with something. And if the right does not lead, the wrong will. And it's our responsibility. Now, God has set order. And order, there's a lot of things we can define maybe as order, but let me give you a little bit of my definition this morning for the purpose of our discussion. Order is like a pattern that we all can expect. It's set in place that we all know and can see which way it's going. We recognize it and we're comfortable because we recognize, well, this is where we're headed. It gives us some order. If we don't know, if I leave you with questions in your mind, what I meant, you're going to go away kind of scratching your head. I don't know what he had to say. And it really does nobody any good. So God wants us to embrace order and leadership. And let me show you where that really comes first. God is the one that in the beginning, when the earth was without form and void, that was the description. Without order, if you will. It was chaotic. He said, let there be.
And it all began to take shape at the command of God.
And that same God is the one who took that earth and formed it into somebody that looks like you and I, and breathed life into it, and gave purpose and direction to that life, and taught them some of the meanings of love, and began to instruct. Oh, the message last night was a good one. Oh, it's challenging to us today. The very influence of love that draws us to a better person than what I am today. It will always draw. It has that perfecting quality. It takes you and I and recognizes where we are and reminds us that we can be better. And calls us to a better. And shows us often in our life where I didn't do that as well and I need to do that better. And it never tells me that I'm crushed because I didn't do it right. It says, come up, child. This love. It works dynamically, individually, in our lives. God is love. And He loves His children. And He deals with us personally out of that very great heart of love. And He molds and shapes people just like you and I. Imperfect people that He's perfecting. Thank God for that. That gives me hope that even somebody like me with my twisted minds and twisted thoughts sometimes that I have to bring to the Lord and say, God, turn this around. And you say, Brother Ivan, that was you. Yes, I tell you, that's been me. And has God helped me tremendously? Yes, He's helped me tremendously. And He will help you. Amen. But He is not done with me. And I thank God He's not done with me. And you should thank God He's not done with me. And I thank God He's not done with you. Because He wants to set and purify the sons of Levi. That we might offer sacrifices of holy quality to God and to one another. That we might affect each other for good. That we might provoke one another to good works. You see, we all have a certain responsibility that's laid upon us by God. That gives a certain authority, a certain responsibility of leadership. Parents today, if you have children and your parents, you have children. You have a great responsibility that God has put on you. Those children expect leadership and they will get it from you. Either you will lead by hands off and you're just going to let them be chaotic. That was your form of leadership. And you're going to get exactly what you put into that. Let me tell you, God has a better way than that. Number one, God wants to establish people in righteousness. Now this is where God begins to provide His leadership to you and I as individuals. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and let me give you rest. And I want you then to take my yoke on you. This is leadership now. He takes us and calls us to Himself and brings us into Him as dear children. And He begins to develop you and I and teach you and I. Young men, I want to tell you this morning, you are not ready for marriage unless you have God as your head. You are not ready for marriage unless you are established in righteousness. Unless the Lord has matured you and gotten you to the place where you have settled it in your heart and your mind that God is sweet to my soul. And I will follow after. You're not ready. You're not a candidate for marriage this morning. Let me tell you that in love. The reason why I want to tell you that in love is because if you don't do that God's way, you are apt, you are very, very probable will be your case that you're going to make shipwreck out of your home and out of your marriage and out of your life. It's very probable. High probability. It's so very important. This is leadership. This is God's leadership in your individual life. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the making of a leader. It's not an overnight thing.
Oh my, I can look back. And I've got times back then when I was 18 and thought I was a man and thought I could handle things. And I look back with horror at some of the things I did, with some of the thoughts I had. And I look back and wish I could forget them. But they served a purpose. I hope they did. Because God wants you to learn. He wants to turn what seems to harm you into things that are joyful. Not only for the moment joyful, but it gives eternal joy. It gives something that a lasting lesson that you learn from that. See, it's not God's purpose to crush you with your mistakes. It's God's purpose, out of His love, to develop you and show you what is right. That you are established on a foundation. I sang a song a while ago, standing on the promises. When I heard that, standing. Oh, we all need a foundation, don't we? We need something solid. In a time when a lot of people are chaotic and don't know which way, we need something that's here. And we need some people willing to stand up and say, folks, right here, here's where we stand. We need to have some people stand up and say, I've tried it and I've proven it and here's right. Folks, we should not be ashamed of the gospel of Christ. We've got something. We've done some proving of this foundation. We need to stand on it. Tell people it's right. It's proven true in my life. Now, I know you may be saved for 2 weeks or 2 months and you've already proven that the Lord, it is sweet, but let me tell you, you're going to have some experience as you go on. And you can say some things when you're 2 weeks or 2 months old in the Lord and you can rejoice and you're supposed to do that. But there's places that you can't say as strongly at 2 months old in the Lord as what you can at 30 years old in the Lord. It doesn't have the gravity, you see. It doesn't have the force because you don't have the experience. That's the reason why. So there's a making of a leader. There's some experience that goes along with it. So the verse, it says, not a novice. The reason why. Let me ask you this. This will help illustrate it to your mind. Who among us is in the throes of trying to raise children, trying to learn how to teach them, and on your face asking, Lord, help me. My wife is frustrated. I've got 3 babies around the house, and I come home, and she is tearing her hair out, and I'm trying to make a living, and I feel stressed out. And then you hear somebody get up next Sunday morning that has never raised a child and tells you how to do it. I want to ask you how well you received that. I'm just making a point here. And the point that I'm making is that it's a lot easier for us to receive something, some counsel from somebody who's had some experience. That's why God says in the Scripture, not a novice. Needs to have some track record. Needs to have some experience of life. I think of... We have some dogs at home, and my son got one recently, and he was a young dog. He loved going, last winter, when I was out feeding the cattle, I was out there in that old feed truck, and that dog loved to go out there in the pasture with me and around those cattle. And I had some mama cows that had some pretty young calves. And let me tell you, they don't take kindly to a dog around their little calf. If you've ever been around cattle, they get pretty protective. Especially about one young pup that just loves to bark and run circles and try to antagonize. He got himself in such a shape one time that when I was driving along, those cattle wanted the feed that I had in that truck. And here they came up close and he thought he was going to be barking, and then pretty soon the press got so tight to him, they ran him up underneath my vehicle while I was driving. And he got his leg broken. It's dangerous to get in places you're not supposed to be in. It's good to be able to bark. Don't get me wrong.
But there was a whole lot of space out there he could have barked. He didn't need to bark where he was barking. He was in the wrong spot. He took on something he had no business taking on. And I noticed the older dogs that had been around, they weren't anywhere close to up there. They was out yonder. They learned something. You know why? They'd had some experience. They'd been chased. And they learned. God help us to know how to stop when we need to stop. One of the things that I've noticed in training my dogs, one of the first things I try to tell them, try to help them learn, the tone of my voice when I say no. Because it's important for them to stop when I say stop. They can do a lot of damage when they don't stop. I've had cattle in a position that I wanted to move them, and this dog would come up there and scatter everything that I'd just done. And that frustrated me and frustrated the cattle, everything. It was just a pitiful mess. And I had to patiently go try to, again, gather up. And you know, sometimes damage has been done to the point I can't gather things back up again. All because somebody didn't know how to stop. That relates to us. It's very, very important to hear the voice of the Lord, not only when He says go, but to hear and respond when He says stop. It's a mark of a leader. He don't learn that overnight. He may have to have some bruises. He may have to run around a truck a time or two by an old mama cow. But you learn. And I look back on some of my experiences and I say, oh, God, have mercy on me. And because I have those memories, I'm going to have some mercy on you when I see you getting run around the truck too. But I'm going to also ask the Lord to teach you. Help them to learn this one. We all need that. And you young folks, I'm not saying this in any way today to try to discourage you. In fact, I'm really trying to say this to encourage you. I want you this morning to give your heart and your life to the Lord. I want you to invest in the ways of God. And I want you to give your heart so fully that the Lord's able to develop you into leadership. However the Lord wants to express that in your life. And if He wants to make a ministry out of you, I'm praying He does. And if He wants to make a prayer warrior out of you, I'm praying He does. He wants to make you somebody who's able to go into a situation that's touchy and with just love and be able to have a real gift of helps. And I'm praying for that gift. I'm praying the Lord develops you and put your name there this morning. Don't say I'm not talking to you, because I am. I'm asking the Lord to develop all of us. We have responsibilities. You know, the world cries for leadership today. We are so devoid of leadership in this world. We have a lot of people hollering and trying to head off in all kinds of directions. I want to tell you, power is a good thing, but it's not good when it's chaotic. It destroys things. It's the reason why we have a song leader. We want it harmonious. We want it headed the right direction. There's a reason why God ordained leadership. It's ordered by God. What would a home be without a man that God ordained to be the leader of that home? First, He ordained that that man would be led by God. That's the first ordination. Then He ordered that man also to take responsibility of that home and be a godly leader of that home. He also ordered that woman. There's a special, precious place that the God of heaven has put on femininity, on the role of motherhood in that home. It's a precious, honorable thing. It's so very important. And I'll remind you of a term that you probably have already heard, but you've heard the old term that said the hand that rocks the cradle. You know, the rest of that rules the world. There's a whole lot of truth in that. Mothers, you have a great, great responsibility this morning in training that child. I'm going to tell you another little quote story from
my dear brother Clifford Wilson. He taught us one of these things. He said, again, when he was talking about knowing God for yourself, he elaborated on it like this. He said, now, when a child is first born into a home, they really don't. Their greatest contact is with mama. And it's so very important. She nurtures, she loves this little child. And daddy's generally, he's off trying to make a living, and he comes home, he wants to have his, he looks after his family, he wants to protect them, he wants them to feel secure in his love, he wants his home to be a secure and a safe place. He's looking after his lovely, wonderful wife. He loves her, he looks on her and watches her as she carries this little baby, and how sweet that community, and he just is thrilled with that. He's so fulfilled. I'm telling you, this is how I felt when my first child. I thought the world was great. I am fulfilled. This is it. This is wonderful. And it is. And I loved, oh, I wanted this. This is what I wanted. I felt the blessings of the Lord on it. There comes a time that child in that environment begins to grow. And they get to be a toddler. And daddy's gone. He's off working, and he gets ready to come home for lunch or supper at night when he comes home from work, and mama loves daddy. They've got this love thing going on. And when daddy begins to, she hears the truck coming down the road, she looks at toddler and says, little Johnny said, daddy's coming home. Daddy's coming. You hear that? And the little boy or the little girl learns to hear, I hear that noise. Pretty soon, begins to totter over to mama, dad, 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 dad. Because she said he's precious. She taught the young one, daddy's coming home. We love daddy. And when daddy gets there, the little one gets up. Oh, he is so, I can't explain to you how wonderful that feels to have those little arms come around your neck. Oh, it's wonderful. This is God's plan. And God wants you and I to be like that to the dear ones when they're born again in Christ. God wants them to see how precious God is to us. He wants us to model before them how much He means to me. Oh, we come to services. He doesn't want us to... Oh, the cross is so heavy today. He wants us to say, daddy's coming home. He's coming. Oh, we sing these songs. Oh, they're precious to my soul. And then that little toddler, as they grow up, they begin to get to know daddy on a little different level, more personal level. And as they learn that leadership, and they naturally flow into that, they feel the security of daddy. Because mama feels secure in daddy. The home feels happy. There's some union here. We're all headed in the same direction. You're not pulling this way. Oh, folks, women, you got a real special place. Make that child feel like we're all headed the same direction. When daddy comes home, I'm happy to hear him. I'm happy to see him. And when we talk together here, we're all headed the same. We're all headed the same direction. I will tell you that yes, you're going to have some frictions. We know that. We're going to have some differences in a marriage. But how you handle that is very important. Do not let that child see you in your differences. Let me ask you that. Don't let that child see you. Do not let your child feel insecure in your home. Take your difference over there and you deal with it in a godly fashion. And the Lord will bless it. And your child will be blessed. Your home will be blessed. This is part of leadership. This is part of your job. Now, do I have a responsibility to my fellow man? Am I my brother's keeper? Oh, yes, you are. You don't get out of this one. We've got a job. to live in such a way before my neighbors?
Before the congregation, of course. It's a given. But before the neighbors that don't like me. I have a responsibility to show them godliness. For people who really don't care, they don't really don't like the way I'm headed in life, they think I'm strange. We have a responsibility to show them the sweetness of God in our life. I am my brother's keeper. I've got a job on my hand. That doesn't mean that I go over there and I feel like I need to tell you something. I need to show you why. I need to tell you this is what the Scripture and this is what we're... That's not leadership. David didn't lead his men by saying, "Men, God made me leader here and you got to follow." It's not the way he did it. That kind of leadership would never inspire men to go and put their life at risk to get him a cup of cold water. It'd never do it. Would not have been successful. He won their hearts. He won their hearts. And you know how you win somebody's heart? You genuinely care about them. The way a minister, all ministers, this comes to me. Before we can lead anybody at all, we've got to be led of God. And in that leadership, we've got to learn what the real genuine love of God is. And that has to be expounded. It has to be projected beyond just me. And I need to have a genuine, not a made-up love, but a genuine love for everybody out before me. Without that, we are going to be very ineffective. God wants you and I to have genuine love for one another. Genuinely. Oh my. I realize that I really haven't read a scripture. I've quoted some. I would like to notice a passage over here in 2 Samuel, the 18th verse, or 18th chapter. We have a situation here. The point I want to get here is that God qualifies if we let Him. And God wants to take you this morning. He wants to qualify you. He wants to develop you into places that you can more effectively lead. It's important. Leadership is very important. But God wants to develop you into that place of being able to effectively lead. Sometimes you might see a job and you may want to do it so very much, but you may not be the man for that job. And this is one of those cases. Here again, we have to recognize it's very important for us to hear and know and learn the voice of the Lord. We need to start out in that young toddler stage and begin to hear and know God for ourselves and begin to understand and recognize His voice enough to stop when He says stop and go when He says go. And that's not developed just overnight, folks. There's some experience that we go through. Now, here was, in this case, in the 2 Samuel, the 18th chapter, and the 19th verse, a man comes into the scene here. Then said that man. He comes into this scene, and evidently, by what we read here, he's an extraordinary runner. And what David said about him when they saw him approach, they said, he's a good man. So this man had some very good qualities. He had ability. He could sure do it. He could get the job done. This man, if you needed to get the message there in a hurry, call on him. He can get there. This man, and he had the heart to do it. Oh, he had the heart of a champion. This man, I think him, if he was, entered the Boston Marathon today, he'd more than like to come out on top. He had that kind of a heart, that kind of ability.
a good man. But he wasn't the man for this job. What happened was a very sad situation where David had a son he loved dearly that had gotten off and got himself in rebellion and really twisted up, and a pitiful situation in the man's life. It developed, and he got ambitious, and he decided he was going to try to be the leader, and he wasn't supposed to be the leader. It wasn't his time. God's anointing wasn't on it. And he got himself in a lot of trouble. Folks, here's again another example. God wants us to be in His order and in His timing. He needs leadership, but He needs trained. He needs developed leaders, qualified leaders. And the Lord has you in school today. You say, not me. Yes, you too. Every one of us. Because He wants us to all be effective leaders in the sphere, in the realm that we live in, those that we influence, and those that we contact with. He wants us to be that leader. That doesn't mean I stand up and say, I'm going to lead y'all. No, you do that by the gravity, by the effect of the real genuine love that God has planted in your heart, and people gravitate toward you because they see something special there. And God wants to develop that in you. And He'll take you with even your inabilities right now, and He'll develop, and He'll make the most out of your life. Young people, I want you to understand this. I really want you to get it. He'll make the most out of your life that can be made. Now, if you're going to measure that by, are you going to be like Bill Gates with money? He's probably not going to make that out of you, but He's going to make you somebody effective in godliness and righteousness, and the most that can be made out of your life if you give it to Him. And when you look back over the road later on, you're going to look back and say, oh, I'm so glad I made that decision. I am so... Because the reward, the reaping is good. It's peaceful. You see, the opposite of order is chaos. But order, there's peace. I've even noticed that if we can have Sunday school, and back home we might have some reading of the scripture, and we go down this line over here, and you take a verse, and you take a verse, and you take a verse, until we kind of... And I've noticed sometimes that maybe that pattern got changed and jumped over here, and what it leaves in people's minds is, oh, who's next? And a little bit, well, how does this happen? And you start feeling not quite as free or as peaceful. You know, God wants us, the order is put there for us to know what to expect and how to go, and we flow better down that direction. And God puts that in there for a purpose. He wants us to move. And He's our head this morning. Oh, He's a wonderful leader. But then He ordains people. And you and I are people. He ordains us to be leaders in the sphere that He's put in, the realm that He's put us in. And to what the area that God wants us to affect, He wants you to take that position. Not by personal desire, but by the order of God. Moses never wanted that position. Did you notice that? Notice how he... No, Lord, no. But the Lord had him in training. He had about 40 years worth of it. And it wasn't easy training, but he had some training. And when the Lord finally caught a hold of him out there in the desert by that burning bush, I'm going to tell you, Moses still said, oh, you got the wrong man, Lord. The Lord said, no, I got the right one. You're the one. And I'm going to tell you what, he had that training was so essential for Moses, because the next years that he had when he's dealing with the stiff-necked people, he needed every year of training he had. And even with all those years of training, he had an incident where his old carnality got a hold. Folks, it's not easy being a leader. But yet God wants to develop you. And He wants to tell you, I'll be with you. And as you walk along with the Lord, you're going to see things that... at one time He said, Moses, put that rod and put it on the ground. Throw it down. And he saw the hand of God in the thing. He recognized supernaturally, this is not a me, it's a God. You know what that does to us? We have a lot of confidence then. Not in me, but in what God's doing. And oh, when I realize that that kind of power is the one calling me and backing me, well, then you've got a lot of confidence. You can then tell the blind man or the lame man laying at the gate, I don't have any silver or gold in my pocket, but such as I have, give I unto thee. You've got some confidence now because God's backing me. God's saying this, you see. We've got to have that. You're not going to be successful in life without first coming under the leadership of God Himself in your life. This man wanted to run. He wanted to run so badly. And Joab said, no, I don't want you to run. This isn't a message for you. Called another man that wasn't a skilled runner, but he could say the job. He could do the job and give the message exactly the way Joab wanted it given. So he said, I want you to go tell him. Told him what to say. This other man, you could almost see him over there prancing around. Let me go. First thing he said, let me run. All right, go ahead. It's dangerous to run at your own charge. It's not good. Lord had mercy on this man. The worst he experienced, it looks like, was severe embarrassment. And God loves you enough to let you be embarrassed. Oh, yes, He is. That's not bad all completely. I would say the next time a situation like this arises, this brother, he may be not quite as anxious to run. He ran when they said run. And he learned a very valuable lesson of how to stop. And we need to learn that too. We need to learn that. Because there's a time to speak and a time to hold your tongue. There's a time for everything under the sun. And we don't learn that the day we're born. We learn that, number one, by having contact with the Lord. And then by experience, by maturity, by life experiences. As we watch and we learn to follow the Lord, we develop. God wants to develop us along those lines. Now, I would like to also notice over here in 1 Samuel, the 30th chapter, David, the Lord had developed him into leadership. And I don't think any of us would really like to go through his school. You're gonna sign up today to go through the school David went through. Let me tell you, before you're willing to sign up, you might want to line up real quick. Hey, I want to be a David. I want to. That's okay. It's a good desire to have. But let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to be chased. You're going to have javelins thrown at you. You're going to be hiding, running around on this side of the mountain when your enemy's running around that side trying to catch you. You're going to be hiding back in a cave. It's not going to be easy. God had David in quite a school, didn't He? One of the men he loved so dearly, he had to run off and leave him, Jonathan. You know, David loved Jonathan. They were closer than brothers. They were the Lord. There was such a special bond they had. And I would say it was a great heartache to both of those young men when they had to leave because of the anger of Saul. You know, God at one time had chosen Saul as a leader. What happened? Somewhere along the process of Saul's development, he marred in the hand of God. Is there no remedy for marring? I say, yes, there is remedy for marring. But you have to do it right. If we notice David's case, there were times he marred. Notice what he did. He came back and humbled himself utterly before the Lord, placed himself in God's hands, and was willing to humble all the way down, not making excuses for David. Oh, and some terrible things that David did. But this one quality he kept. He was a man after God's own heart. I love you more, Lord. And I'm so sorry I did that. Lord, spare these. It's not their fault. It's mine.
It's my fault, Lord. Oh, it was must have been a terrible thing that David, those times when he had to reap for his shortcomings. But yet the Lord developed him. And this is a very important quality I think the Lord wants us to get a hold of here this morning. Humility is essential in to be a good leader. It's essential. You're not going to lead people well if you're going to be arrogant. You might lead some people by fear for a short amount of time, but you're not going to get the kind of devotion that causes three men to go to that pool over there, to that well, and draw while a garrison of Philistines is guarding the well. You're not going to have that kind of action by tyranny. You're only going to get that when you've captured their heart out of love and humility, and you really care for them. Over here in in the 30th chapter, in the first verse, we have a situation here arose where David, again, he had been out there being chased, and he had his band of faithful followers that just gravitated toward him, and they had been doing some pretty good work out there. They were being effective, even where the Lord had him. He was being effective out there. But while they were out there, they had left their residence or their place, their home, the place where they had been living and going out doing this. And then they came back home and found that while they were gone, the enemy had come and taken all their wives and burned their houses. And their children. And I'll tell you, when your wife and children is taken from you, a man, he feels it hurts terribly. That's his life. That's why he's doing this. He wants his wife, his children. He loves them. He wants to do good for his family. And while he's gone, comes home and finds this condition. And these men, notice how they felt here. Ziklag had been burned, the second verse now, and they had taken the women captive and that were therein, and slew not any, neither either great or small, but carried them away and went their way. The enemy had come in and taken all that and burned the city. And so David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. I've had some experiences here of late where I cried from the bottom of my heart. Great wails just came out of me. I think I feel a little bit of what these men must have felt that day. They reacted, some of them reacted very poorly. And so his men and David's two wives were taken captive. Told their names there in 6th verse, and David was greatly distressed. The people spoke about stoning him. You want to be a leader today? Here's Sister Roberta chuckling over there. I think she's had some of those experiences. It's not easy. There's going to be some times when it seems like everything went wrong. You know who they're going to blame? You. You're the leader. Moses, why'd you lead us here? Moses, we're trapped. We've got a mountain on this side, a mountain on that side, and the Red Sea before us. And there's the enemy. They're right on our back. And we have no escape. What'd you think you was doing, Moses?
Moses and David did what leaders do. They took their case to God. And notice what David did here. In the latter part of the sixth verse, but David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. He got down on his knees and said, God, I'm in trouble. And you've been the one that's led me so far. I have felt your guiding hand on my life, and I've ever needed it before. I need it now. And God didn't abandon his child. Whatever your sphere that God has given you as leadership in your life, I want to tell you, you're going to have some times that you feel like that you need God desperately. And God wants to be there for you. I want to encourage you this morning. In those moments of your life, do like the leaders have that before us have went. These giants of our faith, that they got in places like that too. You're not the first one that's dealt with it. And you won't be the last. But continue setting the example that those that went before us, those successful leaders that went before us, set the same example that they did. And get down on your knees and ask God for guidance. Help us, Lord. And the Lord told Moses to get up from there and take that same old rod. And you hold it over that rod and watch me work. David, get up from there. I'm going to tell you what we're going to do. And you know what? When we go do it God's way, it's a real good solution. Those people, when you feel the leadership of God, people are going to follow. When they see God at work in your life, people are going to say, yes, amen. We're going there too. I see it. I see something happening in that brother's life. Ministers, you want the blessing of the Lord on your life, first get His leadership. If you want to feel the acceptance of the people around you, you get the Lord's leadership. And they're going to see that in you and they're going to say, oh, that brother's got something. There's something there. And we're all going to have our different ways of expressing ourselves, our different characteristics. And some people are going to like those characteristics and some people's not. But if they can see God in your life, folks, I want to tell you, your quirky dispositions, the Lord will line that out. I've heard tell of your old brother John Wilson. I don't remember him at all. I'm just telling you about things that people told me about Brother John. I understand that his mannerism of speaking, when he was talking to you out here on the street, it was kind of a stoppage or that's the way he was described to me. Kind of a stutter that he wasn't much of a speaker. But the Lord called him to the ministry. Seems like an unlikely candidate, doesn't it? We want to have people with skill. And the Lord does develop that. But this man, he had the heart. And the Lord called him. And a fella told me one time, he was his first time to come to Monarch. He had just met the saints. Wasn't around very much, but he knew that the saints had something. He came to Monarch. And the first service he was in was a night service at Monarch, and Brother John Wilson got up and he started off with this kind of a stammering talk, and he thought, oh my, why they let somebody like that in the pulpit? But he said, within just a little bit, the Lord turned that man loose, and he said it was a message that he wrung in his heart to this day. He saw God at work. And it changed his perception of the situation. It only confirmed to him that God Himself. Folks, that's important. It's essential in our lives. I want to remind you this morning that each one of us, you have a responsibility to those around you. Let me say it like this. God wants to help you affect people around you in a good way. He wants them to be led to Christ. I know there's a term out there, you know, how many people have you led to Christ? It's almost gotten corrupted by almost a popular way of saying it. But no, God wants you to lead people to Christ. It's okay. God wants them to see Christ in you. And by your love that you have for them, by the chaste conversation that you have, by the effect of God in your life, He wants that to be a drawing force to bring them to Christ. And you have a responsibility. Every one of us do. You are ambassadors this morning of the gospel of Christ. And God wants to make you more effective in that. And as you yield yourself to the impulses of Christ, and I'm praying this morning from this generation, we have generations of ministers. We are getting older. We need to have younger ministers coming on. We're asking God to inspire, to call some young people to the work of the gospel. I will tell you this morning, I'm not ashamed to tell you, I am praying that the Lord anoints some of our young people. Gets a hold of their heart. I want to see you get a hold of God. I want to see you begin to deepen down in the things of the Lord. I want to see you have testimonies Wednesday night. I want to see you come and tell me how you fought some battles and you've gotten some victories. I want to see the Lord inspiring your heart. I want to see that action coming out. I'm begging God to work in your life. I'm asking God to give you some testimonies. That means when I pray, God, that He gives you some testimonies. I know full well you're going to have some battles when they ask Him to do that. And sometimes when you're having battles, that means me as a minister. I'm involved in that battle with you. I'll hear your call maybe at midnight. I've had some of those calls when somebody's in trouble. That means I've got to be it, but I want to do it because I want you to make it. I want you to develop in godliness. I want to see another generation find this sweet and pure and righteous in their life. I want them to find it so precious that they won't turn it loose. I want them to sing that song, number 223, I mean to go right. I want it to ring from their soul. Oh, count me in that number. I want to be there. I'm one of those. There's a purpose. There's a direction we're going. I hear the leadership of my Heavenly Father calling me, and I want others to go with it. I want you to hear. I want you to feel that call this morning. Oh, young folks. Young folks, how about older ones? Where are you today? Is the Lord calling you? He might make a minister out of a 60-year-old man here this morning. I hope He does. We all have some responsibility in this ministry this morning. But I want to encourage you. I want to tell you my prayer and my desire is that all of us are established in God, in righteousness. And we feel His drawing and His leadership, His passion in our hearts and our lives. And we found it sweet. And I'm willing to take on the responsibility that is mine. Fathers, if you have responsibility in your home, you have a very special place the Lord has called you to. Take hold of that. Show your family a godly example. Put God on as your head. Follow after Him with all of your heart. And let that inspiration fall into your children. May they see your passion for the things of God. May it affect them in such a way that as they grow up, they want to be tender-hearted followers of God because they saw it in Daddy. Oh, it's so important this morning. Leadership. And don't think when you say leadership that I'm looking at this one and this one and that one and that. There are leaders. No, you got a job too. You don't get off this morning. You got a job. Buckle in right there. When it comes time to sing a song, have a good song ringing in your heart. When it comes time to pray, who's going to do it? You're going to wait on two or three people to do it? No, as far as it's your job. And I want to encourage you to practice this at home, in your home congregations. If you can't pray but just a few minutes, well, pray a few minutes or pray 30 seconds. If that's all you got, pray it. Learn it at home on your knees. The Lord wants to develop you. Practice it. Testimonies, if you can't get up and just cry a little bit, it's hard. You go right ahead and do it. Because the Lord wants to develop you. Do it out of love for God. I want you, Lord, to follow. I want to follow you, Lord. I want you to develop me in my soul. Oh, I thank you, Lord, for salvation this morning. Tell it. Like Sister Roberta said the other day, every while the best thing she can do is just say, I'm saved. That's good. That's a powerful testimony. If you can say this morning, stand up and say, I'm saved. The Lord has saved my soul. That's all you can say. That's a powerful testimony. I'm still one of them. I'm there. I'm in the battle. I'm numbered and I'm present. I'm here this morning. Because God's got a hold of my heart. Oh, I want to encourage you this morning. Is there a cause? Is there a purpose? Oh, yes, there is. Is it meant to go on? Yes, it's meant to go on. Is there a purpose? Are you dying out this morning? No, you're not dying out. I'm in this to the end. I mean to go right on. I want to encourage you young folks. Get in the battle. Do some battle in your own soul, in righteousness. Gain some victories, and then encourage the next one to you. You see, when one man, he might chase 1,000, but you get 2 of them in there, they're going to chase a whole lot more. And then you get more, you start feeling like, amen, Lord, we got this one. We feel your presence here. Monarch's coming. This meeting's going on now. We need the presence of the Lord. I will tell you that there's some wonderful memories that we've had in that old tabernacle there at Monarch. That tabernacle is gone. I was there the other day. It's been all torn down. There's a concrete slab there. I walked over to the area where God got a hold of my heart and saved me one night. I sat down there beside that. My family was around me, my children and my 2 daughter-in-laws, and they said, tell us the story. I'm glad they wanted to know. It's been precious to me. It's been special. We've built some real memories underneath that old campground, that old tabernacle. I was there when it was sawdust, and I've helped change out sawdust in it. I was there when we dug holes to expand the building. I've enjoyed every minute of it. It's precious. I got some wonderful memories there. And there's some nostalgic memories that I will not turn loose. It's precious. Tornado hit that. Began to tear it down. We made a decision to build another structure anyway. Part of me sure wish we wouldn't have done that, but part of me realizes it's necessary. I want to tell you that when we go to Monarch this year, go there praying and asking the Lord to give us some new memories. To begin to establish that God, the same God that met us over there, is there to meet us over at the other place. The same God. He still wants to save souls. He still wants to line altars with people that's hunting Him. He still is interested in me. And I want to encourage you, come to Monarch this year and expect to see God show up. Ask Him to show up. I want to encourage you. We want to lead that direction. Our expectation today is God's going to show up. He wants to be here in this meeting and in the meetings in the future. And He wants us to be part of this. He invites us to follow. And as we follow, ask those behind us, lead the way. My mother had a song that she liked. May those who come behind us find us faithful. Oh, folks, this morning, it's my prayer that if you follow in the steps that I laid down, I want those steps to lead you to heaven. That means that I've got to have some steps that I'm following before me of my dear Savior. And I want you, as you follow in those steps, I want you to see way past me and see the cross up there and see heaven above. Because God wants to be effective and powerful and dynamic, personally dynamic, in every one of our hearts. Pray for me. I want to make heaven my home.